This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Anthony, I love how you tried to not dance. You just tried to be like, yeah, okay, we're back.
I was trying.
Earth, Wind & Fire is playing. I'm not going to. And then eventually your shoulders just were like, I can't stop. I can't stop.
Hey, look, when that beat dropped, man.
I, again.
It's all I can do.
I'm laughing at your attempt. It was clearly going to fail. All right. It's already almost 6:05. Let's get going. Pick six time here on a Monday.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, on Fridays, we pick six players who we think are going to have the biggest impact in the game. Quarterbacks are excluded, so no Dalton, no Jaden Daniels, and Marcus Mariota wasn't really on our radar, but hey, he would have been excluded as well. But who we did start with was...
Number one.
Brian Robinson, who came back with a nice little vengeance, Anthony. 12 carries, 71 yards, 5.9 a carry, has the touchdown. And it felt like, especially in that first half, they just absolutely were able to get whatever they wanted on the ground. And you know, they ran McNichols a couple times, and he actually had a really nice couple of carries. Eckler, a little more hit or miss as a runner. They obviously had the huge play to Jaden. But eventually, I guess what I would say is, like, they started in the first series with Eckler and McNichols together in the backfield. And in the second series, they came back with B-Rob. And it was just like, okay, hey, by the way, Brian Robinson's back, and he looked fantastic.
Yeah, I think it was Marcus Mariota's
second series.
Where they just ran B-Rob. It was, I think the scoring drive was four plays, 59 yards, all running plays by B-Rob. I think they had the pass interference on that drive as well. But for the most part, it was literally all Brian Robinson. And just being able to, you know, have him back, we see the physical runner who he is and how we can, I guess, get our offense going when we have a run game. And for him to go out there, have 12 carries, 71 yards, I think that just contributed to the rushing attack between all of our running backs. I think they combined for 23 carries for 130. So if we're doing that every game, I'll take that. No question. But I think it starts with the lead horse, Brian Robinson.
I think it does. And I think even, you know, some of the quarterback run stuff, you get so scared of those running backs. And then Mariota, 11 for 34. Obviously, Jaden had three carries for 50, including the 46-yarder. All in all, 37 carries, 214 yards on the ground for Washington. And they have now run for 200 yards and passed for 200 yards, I believe, in four of the seven games this year. That's a good ball right there. The host is playing good ball.
Number two.
Number two, who is number four? Frankie Louvu. Just another couple of another day at the office for Louvu. Only has four tackles, but has a sack, has two tackles for loss. Like, when he made plays, they were behind the line of scrimmage. And I think that force that he plays with, the way he shows up, the impact, it just feels like when he makes tackles, Anthony, that the impact is larger than whatever the result of the play is itself.
Yeah, that dude, man, he is a wrecking ball. And I think we spoke to, you know, us losing John Allen, us losing John Baptiste. Also, the fact that we get Jordan McGee back, and now we can utilize Frankie Louvu in different areas. And there were times he lined up at left defensive end, and boy, did he cook the right tackle a couple of times. So I would hope to expect to see him a little bit more on that front, especially on obvious passing downs where he can just, you know, pull his ears back and get out the quarterback.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think watching the way this game played out from, a game flow standpoint, to see what happens when they can get him out on the edge as opposed to in space. Because there's even a play, I think, early in one of the drives where, like, he doesn't really drop at the right depth. And you're like, man, I know he's got to play off-ball linebacker, and sometimes that means he's playing in coverage. But, like, I get excited when he can just rush, yeah. Whether it's a blitzer, whether it's a true, like, defensive end. Sometimes they do funky stuff with him where they just, like, line him up kind of as a standing three technique, yeah. Where he's, like, over, you know, between the guard and the tackle, and you're like, okay, I guess he's just going to rush against the guard here, and he's on the line of scrimmage, but I guess he's kind of just a blitzer in that gap. But Frankie Louvu doing that stuff, great. And the other thing he does really well is against the run, when he can run a little bit, and whether he gets to the ball or not, watching him just, like, stick his helmet right into the chin of a guard, we were just like, oh, man, that had to hurt. Where he gets downhill, and he'll like, bump a guard back into the path of the back, and the back has to bubble around. There's little stuff like that where if it involves physicality versus, like, I need to drop to space and match routes, Frankie Louvu is about as good as you get in the entire NFL at that stuff, and he showed it again in this game.
Number three.
You know who else showed up in this game? Deron freaking Payne. Deron Payne in this game, 3 tackles. He had 2 of them solo. He technically is not credited with a tackle for loss, which is silly to me because I definitely remember him having a tackle for loss. I think I even wrote in my notes. I was like, hello, Payne. He had some good rushes in this game as well. There is one play where he gets bumped back a little bit, and it's a stunt, and Fowler comes inside, and then Payne winds up, like, because he has to leave room for Fowler, getting almost a running head start, and he just, like, bowls through a double team. And you're like, oh, that's fun. The physicality, the speed, the quickness, the power, like, it looked like Deron Payne. And by the way, you want to see some fun athleticism? Watch him go out and lead block for Fowler on the pick six. Big men should not be able to run that fast.
Yeah, he was moving. It looked like the sprints that they do at the end of training camp almost. That's how fast he was out there moving. But I think the play that you're talking about is where he lines up outside of the tight end, and him and Fowler end up doing a stunt. But, you know, just being able to, like, put him out there. And we've seen him outside at the defensive end this season. But I think, you know, him and Fowler still, you know, working out some things. And I think as time goes on, they'll be able to, you know, line up more, you know.
On third down, they can line up anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is super duper fun. The other thing I think is worth noting from this game, I don't know if there's a way to, I'm gonna have to text like 48 or someone who's got the True Media stats access. So Sam, if you're listening, I would love to know the numbers when Payne and Big Phil were together on the field against the run. Because when Phil could eat those double teams and create, like, some gaps for Deron to go shoot, like, he is a really effective player. And so getting the chemistry between those guys down is going to be really fun to watch. And it seems like they've got some already. And then hopefully he and Newton can fill or can learn to play together a little bit better as well as time goes on. That is the first half of our pick six. We got 3 more players to discuss next. But first, let's get the latest from the world in women's sports, presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's Off and Chill. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube. Chat is lively today at the Team 980 if you want to catch us there. Also, I should mention, we're going to play for you during Real Things today a clip of my exclusive one-on-one interview today with Ted Leonsis, the Monumental Sports chairman. That interview is in full on my YouTube page right now, at Craig Hoffman. I actually need to upload it to the Team 980's page as well. I meant to do that before the show, and I forgot to hit a button. So I will get that done ASAP. But at Team 980, at Craig Hoffman, for the full 13-minute interview with Ted Leonsis about the announcement about Capital One Arena and the city. We also got into some really good like Wizards discussion for a couple of questions. The Mystics' future, especially the next 3 years, is their crowds are exploding and they won't have Capital One Arena to play in because of the construction. So we talked about that. And this all took place at the Harry Benson Art Gallery that Ted is opening just outside of Capital One Arena with some of the photography of Harry Benson, who is, in Ted's words, the greatest living photographer on earth or in America. 94 years old now, is some of the photos and the things that he was at to witness and take photos of were absolutely stunning. So we talked about all of that exclusive with Leonsis on YouTube now. It'll go in our podcast feed as well. Anthony, just remind me to send you that audio sooner rather than later. And we will get you that tomorrow in full on the radio. So if you just want to have a little patience too tomorrow, we will probably air that in full here on The Hoffman Show. All right, back to our pick six, though. Let's keep it up. We already talked about Robinson, Luvu, and Payne. And we actually picked a couple of guys that we thought would be interesting to watch from the Carolina lens.
Number four.
We talked about Deontay Johnson, and he was completely quiet in this game, Anthony. Like, the fact that Washington completely shut him out, one catch, I guess not completely technically shut him out, one catch, 17 yards. That was it. Was that in the second half? It had to be in the second half.
I thought it was in the first half.
Oh, maybe it was. I don't know. I don't remember seeing it on film. I'm like, to be honest, in the second half, I started. I was starting to make dinner. Like, I was not exactly locked in at a 40-0. So Deontay Johnson, one catch, 17 yards. The job they did on him, was remarkable. They were able to make sure that a guy who can hurt them in one-on-one situations didn't. And whether it's how they rolled the coverages, whether it's the individual guys that played them, like, they just did a fantastic job. Also, he was the guy who was the intended target on the Forbes pick. So great job by Emmanuel there. And you don't know how you almost shut out a team. Like, do that to their number one target. A guy that when Joe Witt watched him on tape, he was like, that dude's good. And Deontay Johnson is a good football player. Like, if the Commanders traded for Deontay Johnson, I think everyone around here would be very, very happy. And by the way, he's probably going to be available, but if he does become Commander, let's certainly hope he plays better at Northwest Stadium for the home team than he did, in terms of productivity and production for the away team.
Yeah. Not, Johnson's best day out. I think Sam still had a couple of good defensive, plays on him, especially in the first half. Who else? And then Forbes, of course, he comes away with the pick. And even if, you know, Deontay actually does run his full route, because it looks like he just stopped, I think Forbes would have been in position to, you know, get a deflection, if not also, you know, still come up the interception. But him getting that interception, man, I think we're going to get back to that in number six. But I was super happy for my man Forbes.
Yeah, no, it's great to see. And, hey, he can still, if he can all of a sudden turn into a good player, like, that's a good thing for this team. That's a way to fix your corner problem. It still feels like incredible wish casting, but if it's going to happen, it's going to start with confidence. And sometimes you need to see one go in the bucket, so to speak. And that was good. This feels like piling on. I was a little disappointed in his return. I know how skilled of a return he is, and I felt like maybe we'd get a little more magic there. It was a solid return.
I think he went down because of the flags.
I think, you know what? That's right. You know what? I was like, I feel like something's missing there. I think he saw the flags and was like,
yeah, he just dove down. Like,
I don't need to take some big shot or run myself silly when it's all going to get called back.
Yeah, because even when he got up, he didn't celebrate. It was more so just, all right, what's the call? Oh, yeah. We still got the ball. All right. And then he went to go celebrate. So yeah. I think that's in part to why he went down.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I remember 2015. Will Blackman got a pick, and he had a return, and he came on the show to talk about the play, and he was so mad at himself, because Will was a really, really good kick and punt returner.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to remember whether he called it, I think he's like, that return was booty. I think that was something in that family. whether he called it dookie, whether he called it booty. It was something related to the bum.
Yeah.
He was so mad at himself. It just always cracks me up when guys who are good returners have bad ones and they're like, yeah, man, I don't know what I was doing there. But Forbes, I do think, saw the flags and went down.
Yeah.
All right. Number five, Anthony, you picked
number
Chuba
five.
Hubbard. How'd they do?
I think we did a fantastic job. Chuba rushed for he had 17 carries for 52 yards, with 3.1 on the ground. I mean, considering what he was doing before he came into the game, again, he was the NFL's third leading rusher, and he was averaging about 5.5 yards per carry. So the fact we limited him to 3.1 on the ground and then 52 yards and a tub, and the tub came in garbage time when we're destroying these guys, and, you know, that's when it came, I guess. Like, eventually,
yeah,
they want to score kind of thing. But I think we did a phenomenal job. If we can keep this up in terms of, you know, limiting opposing teams' running backs from having monstrous days, I definitely think the defense, you know, played good.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what happens against Chicago, because the last 2 weeks, the Commanders' defense has held the opponent under their typical rushing performance. And this week comes in a game where the game flow is just abysmal for running the football. And last week, they still gave up a ton of yards and couldn't get a stop when they needed it. It's just, you know, Baltimore had literally been averaging 6 yards a carry, and they held them to only 4.8. So it's like, how good is that actually? So I'm very, very, very intrigued to see how this Washington run defense does the next couple of weeks, because they've got, what is it? They've got
the Bears,
Chicago, the Giants, and the Steelers. And then the Eagles in a short week.
Yep.
So the next four games, I think, will tell us a lot on how much progress Joe Witt and Dan Quinn have made on this defensive or this run defense. And, of course, getting turnovers helps, too.
Number six.
Last but not least, I picked Quan Martin. I made a bold prediction. I said Quan Martin was going to be someone who would get a pick. Anthony, I was incorrect on that. I said maybe Quan BSJ. You went Quan and Emmanuel Forbes. Anthony! That's a correct pick for you, sir. Hey, now.
It was. And I thought it was going to come later in the game. I thought that it was going to be, you know, we're up big. Forbes, he's going to have an opportunity to go out there and play. And I think for anybody getting an interception, I think this interception was a huge confidence booster for Emmanuel Forbes. And hopefully, you know, he can continue to play well. I want to see this guy pan out just because, again, we spent a first-round draft pick on this guy, and I don't want to see it go to waste. We've already had too many first-round draft picks start here and then end up, you know, not finishing their rookie contract. I want the opposite for Forbes. So I'm hoping this can, you know, catapult some sort of a good season for the young quarterback.
Yeah, something that I do want to ask Dan, or I hope gets asked on Wednesday, is like kind of what's the plan moving forward? Because they went back to what they went to against Cleveland, where they rotated those guys. And yeah. I thought in this game, the Forbes, BSJ, Sane Ristil group played a little better than the Igbinoghene group. Noah, I think, has had a good year, but he had a couple in this game where he got a little bit sideways. Some of the communication between he and Zane were still. There weren't a lot of plays for Carolina, but, like, some of it happened there. And, again, like, these things happen. It's 1 week. But Forbes, I think, did a good job, and not just on the pick. So I'm curious to see what the plan is moving forward, but good job for Emmanuel. Quan, you know, Quan was Quan. I think ultimately the other reason I picked Quan was because he is coming into the game with a shoulder injury, and I wanted to see how physical he would be. He looked like Quan Martin, so yeah. All is good there. And they'll need him big time this week against the Chicago Bears. All right, that's our pick six at six. When we get back, it's a Tell the Truth Monday, 301-230-0980. Your truth on the game. We take your calls as we finish our final half hour here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
.301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. It's a tell the truth Monday. And Anthony, I'm going to ask you the magical question again. Do you want to do a proper reformal introduction of the segment? And if so, is that something that we are prepared to do as we get the full breakdown? Anthony's giving me the thumbs up. Of Commanders and Panthers from all angles. What's your truth about the game? Let's find out.
It's Tell the Truth Monday on The Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth.
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
All right, you can get your comments in the chat or give us a call at 301-230-0980. That's what Mark has done. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. What's your truth from the Commanders 40-7 win?
Hey, Craig, how you doing? It's always a pleasure. My truth is Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's the MVP of the season, the way he's handled Jaden Daniels, the whole league is noticing. You know, I was freaking out when Daniels went down and Mariota came in. I've always liked Mariota, but, I mean, you know, he's a journeyman backup quarterback now. But the way Kingsbury, the seamlessness between him and Jaden Daniels, the play calling, the way he speeds up the plays, the no huddles, it's getting noticed. And I don't want to borrow trouble, but I hope we can hang on to him at least 2 or 3 years, because ultimately I think he wants to get back in a head coaching position, because he was railroaded out of Arizona. Maybe not railroaded. That's pretty strong. But I think he's going to get a second chance. I love Dan Quinn, because Dan Quinn has the ability. He's always surrounded himself with offensive coordinators who are innovative. His Atlanta days with Shanahan and all that. So he seeks out great minds because he knows he's a defensive guy. So I just can't get enough of Kingsbury, and I hope we can keep him for a while.
Mark, what do you think? Yeah, no, great call. Very much appreciated and very, very much agree. And I think, you know, Cliff is someone that, when he initially took the job, did not want to do a lot of press. And I totally understand why. He just wanted to get here and get to work. And that was made very clear to, I think, me and a lot of other people that wanted to interview him. Like, hey, it's not personal. It's not anything other than, like, he will do the bare minimum. He'll show up at the press conferences, you know, but he wants to work. And I think as he's gotten in it, like, his Thursday pressers have actually been really insightful. Like, he's been great answering questions. He seems to have developed a very good rapport with the press corps that is out there each and every week. And I'm hoping soon I can make my schedule work to get out there to a Thursday, especially to get to ask Cliff a couple things and Joe Witt a couple things. You know, I get the chance to talk to Dan after games, obviously, in those press conference settings, and ask him questions when I'm there in Landover. But I think the general consensus on Cliff is he has obviously done a tremendous job, but he's also really happy right now. He really enjoys just doing the offense. And I'm really hoping that that joy, that fulfillment, combined with some probably, let's be honest, more of Josh Harris's money, and not in a nefarious, like, hey, if you don't pay me more, I'm going to leave. Just like a, hey, man, you've done a great job. We want you to turn down some head coaching jobs. We're going to pay you more money. You deserve a raise. We'll give you an extension. Like, I hope it does get Dan Quinn a couple of years of Cliff. And I hope that it ends with them in a Super Bowl. And then Cliff feels like, hey, I did what I needed to do. Now it's time for me to take on my next challenge. But I think that one of the things that I'm also curious about in terms of the line of succession at offensive coordinator, if Cliff eventually does leave, is, and especially if it's a couple of years from now, is who else is here? And that is a lesson that I think Dan Quinn learned in a major way when he was in Atlanta, was it wasn't just that he let Kyle Shanahan go. It's Kyle Shanahan was there, but so was Mike McDaniel. So was Mike LaFleur. So was a couple of other guys. It was Mike Matter, both of them. Both LaFleur guys might have been there. But they had that 2016 staff is Atlanta's version of the 2012 Washington staff. Like, there are, I think, seven current head coaches on that staff now that Jeff Ulbrich is in charge in New York on an interim basis. Like, it's crazy. They showed that graphic on the telecast. And so do you not only have a replacement for Cliff in mind, but do you have a kind of a hierarchy of guys that are ready to take the next step? And so my thought is that if Cliff gets poached after this season and he decides, like, hey, I've proven what I need to, I'm ready to go test myself as a head coach. He gets a really great offer, a team that he wants to work for. You know, the ownership is good. The GM is good. That Tavita Pritchard is ready to take the next step. But there's also the chance that Cliff turns down, just says, I'm not interested in head coaching positions. I want at least another year as a coordinator to learn some more stuff from DQ, to continue to work with Jaden. And I feel like we have unfinished business, depending on how this season ends, that if Tavita gets OC jobs, what does he do? And if he takes one, which if he very well might, that whoever the next guy is, whether it's David Blau or whoever they bring in, there is some continuity amongst the staff that helps continue to build this thing over time, and they're not starting over. The play caller is always super important. Cliff's ability to call plays and sequence them and set things up, like, he's excellent at what he does. The play design stuff, it's awesome, but it's also collaborative in a lot of ways. And so maybe it's Brian Johnson next. You know, maybe it's Tavita, maybe it's Anthony Lynn, whoever it is, but they all continue to have the input, and the system that's in place, even if the guy leading the meeting is a little different, stays relatively the same for Jaden until, you know, who knows, 7 years from now, Jaden's basically going to be running those meetings, you would think, if things go right anyway. So that's where I'm at on Cliff. I really hope that his desire to stay, and by the way, the fact that this seems to be an incredibly fantastic place to work, is enough to keep him around for a couple years. 301-230-0980. Tell the Truth Monday. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. What truth do you have on this Monday after a 40-7 win?
Oh, man. Craig, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good.
Dude, raise hail. Man, I just got to say, first-time caller, man. I listen to you and Logan on the pod all the time.
Oh, thanks, dude.
Thanks for taking my call. Love your stuff, bro. So feel me out here. I love Jaden running. Like, without that concept and without that threat, our entire offense is way different. You know what I mean? We're just like every other team. We have to have Jaden run the ball. But, like, on that 46-yard run, 47-yard run, whatever it was, dude, in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion, Craig, take 30 yards and just slide. You know what I mean? Like, when you know, I know it's hard to say that, but when you look at what happened, those guys caught up to him, and now we've got a rib injury, right? Like, we got a season, we got a career, we got Super Bowls to win, brother. Like, and then another point with Cliff Kingsbury, man, if I was Aaron Peters, I would kick down Josh Harris's door, and I'd want to give him a 3-year extension. Lock him up for as long as we can, make him the highest paid OC by far, and let him enjoy his happy place, bro.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. And I think you make some good points on the 30 versus, you know, can you run for 30 and slide? But I think you kind of caught yourself where the hard part of that is, which is Jaden's a competitor. He's out there trying to make a play. He doesn't have a full, you know, rear view mirror, rear camera of what's behind him. And so he's out there doing the best he can in the moment. And maybe he does learn, like, hey, maybe it's a little safer to cut outside and just stay there and keep guys on one side of me. But he saw a potential to, I think, break free and score inside. So we went for it. And he's a playmaker. And that's how it goes. On the Cliff front, the other thing I will say is, like, it has been 7 weeks. And Cliff has notoriously been a phenomenal starter. And again, I don't know what the solution is against this offense, so I'm not pretending like there's a shoe to drop that I'm waiting for that I secretly haven't told anybody yet because I'm trying to help the Commanders win. Like, that's A, not my job, and B, if I had the answers to that, someone would be hiring me to be a defensive coordinator, not an Afternoon Drive radio host. But history also does tell us that teams figure some stuff out with Cliff later in the year, and if that happens, whether it's later this year or maybe it takes a year and a half because Jaden's so much better, and this is not just Kyler Murray and his lack of studying or whatever the hell was happening in Arizona. Like, this was at Texas Tech. This is many places, basically every place that Cliff has been. There is a fall off. So has he learned how to adjust? Is this adjustment proof? Because the solutions are always built in. Like, I'm very curious to see how the rest of this thing goes. And you don't have to give him an extension yet. I understand the desire to. He's been the best assistant coach. Like, whatever assistant coach of the year award you want to give, like, Cliff Kingsbury is the guy at this point. But it is only 7 weeks in a 17-week season. We're not even at the halfway point, and a little perspective, I think, goes a long way. All right, when we get back, an exclusive first listen of my interview with Ted Leonsis that you'll hear in full tomorrow here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. I think my body's just ready to be done with the show, Anthony. Like, whoa, got attacked from the inside.
You're ready to be done?
I think so.
You're not ready for 3 more hours?
No. We don't have to do 3 more hours. If we did, just replay this show. I'm not going to do it. We did such a good job today. How we could possibly do better? Why would you ask us to do it again? We already produced greatness. Duh. By the way, if you missed any of the show today, you want to check out some of this excellence, some of this greatness, some of this should be Marconi nominated radio. I've always kind of laughed that the radio awards are called the Marconis, which is the guy who invented radio, Marconi. It just sounds a lot like macaroni. And it looks a lot like macaroni when you write it out. Anyway, we have a podcast. Those are up for like Webby Awards and stuff. Search the Hoffman Show anywhere that gets your pods. You can also re-watch any of the show on demand on YouTube at the Team 980 or rewind in the free Odyssey app. Anthony, what was your favorite part of the show today? I was going to do a fun flippy the bottle trick and I fumbled. Tell everybody what's your favorite part of the show today. I'm going to go get my water bottle.
Favorite part of the show. I'm not going to lie. What was his name? We had a caller named...
Was it Mike from Wheaton who just like went on forever, but it was actually... I was like, this is a long call, but he's making good points.
Yeah. I think his call was very interesting.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't necessarily say, when I say good points, like, things that are worth thinking about, I don't know that I agree with all of it. I think some of it, he had a little bit of Linnell to him, where it's like, hey, this is good information, I don't know about the conclusions you're drawing with it. You've clearly thought about this a lot. I don't know that you've landed in exactly the right place.
Yeah.
But he had some good stuff. That was at 4:30. That was an hour one. So, or was it?
No, it was 4:45.
It was 4:45. Yeah, it was the end of hour one. And then we took extra calls, and then Michael Phillips joined us at 5:15. Yeah. But yeah, good stuff. So that's already up in the podcast feed if you want to check it out.
Yes, it is.
Hour number one. Obviously, we learned today, Jaden, week to week with the rib. So we'll see where that goes. Tomorrow on the show, it's Tischler Tuesday. It's a vibe check Tuesday. I'm definitely curious the vibes with this injury. The vibes still seem to be pretty darn good. Anything else of note tomorrow?
Oh, we have a Wizards interview.
Yeah. And I don't want to say we'll play Corey because I want to give the team a chance to give us Corey live this week. But we have all of our interviews from Media Day that we're going to start unleashing on all of you this week. So we'll do that tomorrow. And I think it's going to be 5:30, or are we doing it at 6:30 tomorrow? 6:30 tomorrow. Let's say Kyle Kuzma 6:30 tomorrow. I think that's a good one. The other thing we're going to do on the Wizards front tomorrow, we got to figure out when this is going to go in the rundown, Anthony, is my chat with Ted Leonsis, which is available now on YouTube in full at Craig Hoffman. And we're going to give you a sneak peek first listen right now as part of Real Things.
Real Things.
We're not going to be sub this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All righty then. So I went to the Harry Benson Gallery today, which is a new gallery coming to Gallery Place right outside of Capital One Arena that'll be open to the public here relatively soon. Amazing photography, some really, really cool stuff in there. But we talked to Ted about a whole bunch of things, including the news of the day, which is that he has reached a new agreement with the city of D.C. to have the district purchase Capital One Arena from Ted and then lease it back to Monumental as part of the continued investment in Capital One Arena and the surrounding area in Chinatown in downtown D.C. So I asked Ted, as this news was still becoming official, what he could tell us as of this morning.
Ted, we're here in the Benson Gallery. There's so many amazing...
Nope, that's not the right one. I don't think I cut the actual clip, Anthony.
Oh, man.
I definitely thought I did. Hold on. We can... Nope, that's just a total fail. I have the full interview.
Oh, by so many people.
Well,
let's see. Let's do that. Scroll a little bit. Now the Google Drive's not working. Well, that's disappointing.
I mean, we have a couple of other things in
we do. Things. We do. I made a promise that I'd give people an exclusive. Technically, yep. You just heard some of the interview. Technically, we paid off the tease, but not in a way that made anybody happy. So I'm sorry about that. I'm genuinely sorry. And tomorrow we're going to play the interview in full. It is available on YouTube at Craig Hoffman. It will be available on YouTube at the Team 980 like in the next 20 minutes. So if you want to really listen to it that bad, go ahead. It will also be up in the podcast feed in the next 20 minutes because the first thing I'm going to do when the show ends is send that audio file that I just played on accident that I thought was the clip that we had cut for the show. We're going to put that in the podcast feed. Okay, instead, here's Arizona State's coach talking about their kicking problem.
But just because you convert doesn't guarantee that you make it one possession. So you would hope that you can make, you know, a kick, one of those, but our kicking game's atrocious. So if you can kick and you're at Arizona State, email me, right? We're going to have kicking tryouts on Monday. So bring it on, kicking tryouts Monday. Let's go. Seriously. Yeah, I'm dead serious. We're going to put it out on our social. We're going to have a kicking tryout on Monday. We got to find somebody who can make it.
Anthony, is there any updates from the Arizona State kicking tryouts?
Not that I have seen just yet.
Okay. I think that's genuinely hilarious. I feel bad for the current kicker, who is still a college kid who now just got absolutely dragged by his coach. I feel like there's a way to say, hey, you know, we love Jake from State Farm. Whoever the kicker's name is a guy, but obviously we're not getting the job done, so we're just going to have tryouts on Monday. I think there's probably a slightly kinder way to say it, but that's a ticked off football coach. And ticked off football coaches are famously, perfect with their words. All right, that's our show. We'll see you tomorrow on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.